KALW.
I remember my old cat. He had woke up my mom because I guess like my face was all purple and stuff and I couldn't breathe.
Pre-existing asthma makes kids more vulnerable to smoke from wildfires, and those are increasing due to climate change.
I worry about fires a lot. Like, even today, I'm kind of still worried about fires.
Today, we bring you the experience of one little girl in a neighborhood with high asthma rates and other health challenges. Then, as climate change intensifies California's wildfire season, some immigrants' jobs could get even riskier.
When wildfires decimate a neighborhood, low-wage immigrant workers like housekeepers and gardeners lose jobs they rely on.
We're continuing our series, Grappling with the Physical and Emotional Toll of Climate Change. That's coming up. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Climate change is happening now, that much is certain. But many of the extraordinary consequences of climate change aren't happening in a way we can immediately feel in our daily lives, like desertification, sea level rise, or mass human migration. But for Californians, there is one glaring exception: wildfires. Over the last several years, they've become a constant presence in our lives. Even if you haven't seen them up close, you've probably smelled their smoke and choked on the ash particles they send into the air. Today, we're continuing our week-long series on how climate change is affecting communities in the Bay Area and how people are coping with the emotional toll of the losses to come and the loss that has already begun. We begin in Vallejo. On certain maps, there's a swath of downtown Vallejo shaped like a trapezoid. It's census tract number 2509, and it has some of the unhealthiest community conditions in the state. High asthma rates, low birth weights, and poverty-related stressors that contribute to those poor health outcomes, including, many point out, systemic racism. But if you could zoom in close to get behind the data, to the people, you'd find this little girl playing in the living room of a ground floor apartment.
My name's Takira Dinetford. I like coloring, drawing, and hanging out with my friends. And when I grew up, I always wanted to be a scientist.
In recent years, extreme fire conditions have spewed more harmful wildfire smoke into the air Takira breathes. Experts attribute that trend to climate change, and that global phenomenon is taking a very local toll on Takira and other kids like her, whether they know it or not. KALW's Lee Romney explores the intersection of place, race, and wildfire smoke.
Takira is snuggling her cat Oreo while we talk. Her medical records show she was diagnosed with asthma at age 5. She's 11 now. Outdoor exertion is one of her triggers, and she says it can be scary.
We only have PE and I run a lot. It makes me feel kind of weak and stuff, and it makes me feel like I can't breathe. And my, like, it feels like my lungs are, like, just closing up and stuff.
Takira lives with her mom and two brothers at the Marina Vista Apartments, a low-income housing development of blocky two-story buildings. Residents here make up a big chunk of the population in Census Tract 2509. And according to the California Healthy Places Index, only 1/3 of 1% of census tracts statewide have less healthy conditions. 4 years ago, Takira had her first big crisis.
On that day when the asthma attack, I was really, really sick, and then I fell asleep. I remember my old cat, he had woke up my mom because I guess like my face was all purple and stuff and I couldn't breathe.
Her mom, Shantira Dalton, ran into the living room where Takira sleeps.
When I looked at her face, I hurry up and put the treatment on her. I immediately rushed her to the hospital and they gave her helium and oxygen at the same time to open up her lungs to have her to breathe again.
Takira is thin and lithe, like a blade of wild grass swaying in the wind. She tends to put a positive spin on things, even that emergency treatment of Heliox, which doctors save for the most serious cases.
I was put on that for an hour. I couldn't even talk because the thing was on my mouth and on my nose. It made me sound like a squeaky mouse.
Tagira stayed in the hospital for days and went home with a bunch of new prescriptions. But her records show her mom would run out of some key maintenance meds over the next few years, partly because of hitches with her Medi-Cal, the government insurance program that serves low-income families in this state. Gaps in Tagira's treatment made controlling her asthma harder, and she landed back in the ER again and again. Meanwhile, the most destructive fires in California history started burning.
It's Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, mandatory evacuation order. Leave your home.
No, she's disabled.
All right, let me get her feet.
That's a deputy's body cam from the 2017 Tubbs Fire, which burned parts of Napa and Sonoma counties, decimating several Santa Rosa neighborhoods. Its speed and ferocity made it the most destructive in California by far, at least for a year. The smoke spread so far that even in the Bay Area, air quality readings were more toxic than Beijing's. But the next year, the even deadlier Camp Fire consumed the entire Butte County town of Paradise, generating even more toxic smoke that drifted for several hundred miles. And last fall, as this NBC report notes, the Kincaid Fire, which burned nearly 80,000 acres in Sonoma County.
Okay, as we mentioned earlier, the smoke is impacting the air quality both near the fire and across the entire Bay Area.
Even though some of these fires burned far from Tagira's home, they produced tiny particulate matter that can travel great distances and lodge deep in the lungs, causing damage. Studies show that smoky days have correlated with spikes in ER visits for lung and heart problems. In real time. And Tagira's mom and grandma both told me that she felt that short-term damage, even getting sent home from school on high smoke days because of her breathing struggles. But Tagira's worst experiences didn't coincide with the poorest air quality days. They came later.
Based on what we know from outdoor air pollution and about asthma biology in general, the effects can be cumulative.
That's Dr. John Balms, a professor of medicine and environmental health sciences who studies the impact of air pollution on kids. There's a lot we still don't know about the long-term health effects of wildfire smoke, but a recent Stanford University study showed potentially lasting damage to the immune systems of kids who'd been exposed to fire smoke. And an investigation by Reveal for the Center for Investigative Reporting found a spike in ER visits for lung and heart ailments 3 to 5 months after the Tubbs fire. So, like with daily air pollution, Baum says, it's pretty clear the insult of smoke to the lungs can cause harm over time.
A child could be exposed to wildfire smoke for a period and have some increase in airway inflammation, which would then put them at greater risk for exacerbations from allergens that they're sensitized to, or make them more at risk for having exacerbation when they get a cold.
Environmental justice issues come into play too. Tagira is Black, and Black children are disproportionately affected by asthma, more likely to be hospitalized for it and even to die from it, especially in low-income neighborhoods like this census tract, home to Vallejo's most concentrated Black population. Those asthma trends are due in part to greater exposure to air pollution from industry and freeway soot. But Baum says also,
discrimination, poor housing, poverty, crime, negative aspects of neighborhoods such as noise, garbage.
Baum's is researching that stew of factors right now in Richmond, not far from Vallejo. He's focusing on daily air quality conditions, but says that wildfire smoke
is likely to differentially impact kids in these neighborhoods.
In the year following the Tubbs fire, Tagira's records show she was rushed to Kaiser Vallejo's emergency room every 3 to 4 months, wheezing and short of breath. Then the campfire started burning, and a week later, Vallejo posted its worst air quality of 2018. Shantiera, Tagira's mom, says she followed public health advice, like this warning from a report on KPIX.
In a statement, the Air District urged people to stay inside with windows and doors closed until smoke levels subside, and warned that the most vulnerable populations are the elderly, those with respiratory illnesses, and children.
Windows and doors closed. That helps if your windows and doors keep the smoke out. But Marina Vista's oldest apartment blocks were built about 50 years ago. And about half a dozen residents, including Shantiera, told me the smoke came right in.
It got a lot of aluminum windows. I feel like we need double painted windows or something.
Smoke pollution can quickly build to unhealthy levels indoors. It's one of those areas where resources affect health. Balms points out that his wife has asthma, so in their Berkeley home, they've installed a ventilation system with a high-end filter that can be switched to internal circulation during smoke days. They've also got air cleaners in every room. Shantiera did run out to Best Buy for something in her price range.
I had to get a humidifier and an air cleanser. It was clearing up the air, but I guess it didn't work enough for her.
Then, 3 months after Vallejo experienced its worst air quality of 2018, Takira was back in the hospital, working very hard to breathe, notes say, unable to hold a long conversation.
I was scared because I had to get an IV. I don't like IVs. They always put it in the same arm. But then this runner, she knew I was scared, so she took her time putting the fluid all the way.
Takira was transferred to the pediatric ICU in Oakland again by ambulance.
The road is bumpy and stuff, and it was fun. And then when we arrived at the hospital, I was kind of all scared again. There was just like a whole bunch of doctors and nurses crowding the whole entire bed and stuff.
Can we recover? Will the world ever be a place of peace and harmony?
Shantiera is a singer, and Takira says during that time in ICU,
she just, like, sometimes just sing.
Especially during mom's long overnight stays.
It was like a little couch that lets out to a bed.
I need the strength of you by my side.
But as brave a little girl as Takira is, her mom says these hospitalizations have been scary and depressing.
It was just a horrible experience. I just remember crying a lot because they kept coming in the room doing extra stuff to her. I was like, oh my God.
Living at Marina Vista hasn't helped. Notes in Takira's medical file a few months after that ICU stay list smoke and bad air day as a few of her asthma triggers. Others include traffic pollution from busy streets near the apartment, strong-smelling cleaning products, must and mold.
There's a lot of mildew around here, too.
And?
Roaches can trigger her asthma. Mice. We stay, like, across where the trash cans are. I feel like they should move them somewhere else, or at least spray more often for roaches and mice. Sometimes we'll see them all outside the apartments and inside bathrooms, and it's just everywhere.
Shantiera went to war inside the apartment, but toxic mist can also be an asthma irritant.
That's why I stopped using the balm. I just got the bait and the spray. There's a lot of kids around here, too, and it's depressing. And all the other apartments around here that are tax credit or subsidized apartments, they're all built way better.
Last fall, Takira was back at the emergency room again on a cardiac monitor, getting a continuous flow of asthma meds through a nebulizer. A week later, Sonoma County's Kincade Fire started raging. Meanwhile, a second grass fire began burning into Vallejo.
I remember, like, the clouds were a little bit pink and stuff, and it was really just smoke everywhere.
Winds were high, too, so PG&E shut off power, a blackout that for Marina Vista residents lasted for days.
The treatments, none of them rely on power, right? There isn't, like, a thing you have to plug in to give her...
Yeah,
oh, it is. It does.
Yeah.
That's right. Without electricity, Takira couldn't use her nebulizer. In a crisis, that could mean life or death. The family headed to Grandma's house in Contra Costa County and stayed through Halloween.
I was Princess Jasmine. Mm-hmm. I was, like, coughing and stuff, but I was so busy playing with my cousins and knocking on doors to get candy and stuff that I didn't really care.
About 2 weeks later, you guessed it, back to the ER. Asthma has been a part of Takira's life for years now. Inhaling that tiny, harmful particulate matter from fire smoke, that's just one of her many triggers. But over the past few years, it's joined the list of forces outside her control that cause her anxiety.
I worry about fires a lot. Like, even today, I'm kind of still worried about fire.
During those smoky days last fall, her thoughts turned to her uncle, who also has asthma.
I was kind of worried about him, too, because he lived right down the street, and he also didn't have any electricity.
Oh, yeah. And his daughter was premature, too, and she was having difficulty breathing, too. So, yeah.
Takira and her mom both told me they tend to associate fire with arson, a single human act of destruction. What's newer to them is the broader phenomenon of global climate change. Science shows that heavy human reliance on fossil fuels has been the main contributor to the accumulation of greenhouse gases in our atmosphere. That has contributed to hotter, drier, longer, and more devastating fire seasons in some parts of the world, including the American West. Shantiera says she now feels like she's part of a larger collective experience, with families she's never met dozens or hundreds of miles away, and it's painful.
A lot of lives was lost. So a lot of people that lost homes and stuff too, because I almost lost my only daughter. Not just me, but for everyone that had to go through that, it was horrible.
The talk of big, out-of-control fires consuming miles and miles of trees, it rings a bell for Takira, even if climate change doesn't.
My teacher was telling us about the fires in Australia. These whole bunch of trees on fire, and then there's these animals, and they live there. And most of the animals had died from them because their houses were, like, burning from the trees and stuff. I think that he said the birds survived because they flied, but
I sat down with Takira and her mom in early March, right before the COVID shelter in place started.
I didn't go to school today because my mom's kind of worried about the virus going around and stuff. And, you know, like, it's going to make me feel like I can't breathe anymore. Or, like, I don't know all the other symptoms it causes, but that's the only one I know.
I drop by one more time in late June to catch up outside the apartment door with my mask on. Shantiera says Takira's been doing pretty well with her asthma the past few months. Maybe because sheltering in place has reduced air pollution. Maybe because she's just getting older.
She does get scared at times. She's like, no, let me get sick. I can't touch that. She constantly washes her hands. You know, sometimes her hands get dry. She complained about that. But she's like, nope, I'm not going to get sick. At least I'm not going to get sick. Well, I'm like, yeah, I know. She doesn't want that experience. I think she's still traumatized by it.
Some good news? The family's apartment block at Marina Vista is about to undergo a major renovation. It'll take about a year, and they'll have to move to a different unit for a bit. But the makeover should help Takira with some of her asthma triggers. In Vallejo, I'm Lee Romney for Cross Currents.
Fire season has already begun. Right now, thousands living just east of Los Angeles have been forced to evacuate their homes because of the Apple Fire. As the number of fires increases, some immigrants who've been deemed essential workers during the pandemic could find their jobs getting even more dangerous.
Hola, Socorro.
Hola, Tere. Buenas tardes.
Hola.
Socorro Diaz is a domestic worker based in Santa Rosa. She talked to KLW reporter Teresa Katsarilis earlier this year. When the Tubbs Fire leveled parts of Santa Rosa in 2017, Socorro says several of her clients' homes burned to the ground, and pretty soon she was desperate for work. She says, I cleaned all the ash out of certain properties, homes that hadn't burned to the ground but were close to ones that had. Socorro says her employer didn't provide her with basic safety gear, like an N95 mask or gloves. And she says the work made her lungs ache and her nose bleed. She says her doctor had to prescribe her an inhaler. Climate change is intensifying California's wildfires, and in many cases, low-wage immigrant workers like Socorro are cleaning up after them. Now, there's a fight for new legislation that could protect them through climate disasters and a growing pandemic. And Teresa has been investigating this issue for months, and she joins me now. Hi, Teresa.
Hey, Hannah.
So, Teresa, how common is Socorro's experience? Does it happen a lot?
Well, we know it's a recurrent problem. Workers like Socorro, as well as state officials and labor organizers, describe a similar pattern across the state. When wildfires decimate a neighborhood, low-wage immigrant workers like housekeepers and gardeners lose jobs they rely on. And then sometimes they feel economically pressured to take new jobs that endanger their health. The most extensive research that's been done on this issue was compiled by IDEPSCA, a nonprofit in Los Angeles that works with low-wage immigrant workers. They surveyed over 500 of these workers about their experiences during the 2018 Woolsey fire in Malibu. And the organization says over 50 of the domestic workers they interviewed described shoveling ash out of houses just like Socorro did, often without masks, gloves, or other basic safety gear. Workers report having very similar experiences during the Tubbs fire in Santa Rosa in 2017, the Getty fire in Brentwood in 2019. You get the idea.
Yeah. And, you know, the things Socorro was talking about, the bleeding from the nose and the aching of the lungs, you know, it just, it sounds really, really dangerous, this kind of work. How dangerous is it?
So the danger here is not well understood yet, but scientists studying wildfire pollution say wildfire smoke and ash often contain toxic chemicals. We don't know what the long-term effects of those chemicals might be yet. We know they're there. Now, California's Division of Occupational Safety and Health, better known as Cal OSHA, they have some regulations around work that involves toxic chemicals like this. So employers are supposed to provide workers with basic safety gear, like masks, as well as training. They also have specific regulations around working through hazardous wildfire smoke. We're actually the first state in the nation to do that.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. These regulations don't generally cover workers like Socorro, which means her employer might not even have to give her any of this basic safety gear like masks in the first place.
But why?
So under California law, household domestic service jobs aren't covered by Cal OSHA. And that means domestic workers are excluded from California's health and safety laws. They just aren't covered by them. I talked to Cal OSHA Chief Doug Parker about this earlier this year, and I told him about a worker who had a similar story to Socorro's. And he said, look, if she wasn't a domestic worker, what happened to her would be considered a violation of California law. Because she is a domestic worker, though, this gets tricky, and honestly, a court would probably have to weigh in and decide whether the laws apply.
But I don't get it. So why are domestic workers excluded from California workplace safety laws?
I mean, frankly, Hannah, there's a pretty ugly history behind this. Historically, domestic workers have been excluded from a range of state and federal labor laws, sometimes for racially motivated reasons. In the 1930s, just as an example, U.S. senators from the South refused to support minimum wage laws for the country if they included domestic workers and farm workers. The reason why was that many of those workers were workers of color in the Jim Crow South. California has gradually closed some of these loopholes in the past 10 years or so. And look, labor advocates have been wanting to extend basic workplace safety laws to domestic workers for a long time. They say this lack of legal protection causes all kinds of problems. But they say the treatment that many domestic workers say they experienced during wildfires, this has made the issue a lot more urgent. Nicole Marquez-Baker, a staff attorney at the workers' rights nonprofit WorkSafe, she explained this really well.
The most vulnerable workers that are impacted by these climate change disasters wouldn't even be covered. It's like at the way highest level of danger, right? It's like, this is one of like the most dangerous kind of situations that a worker can be in.
So, Teresa, I mean, this seems like a dire situation. What are workers and advocates doing to try to change this?
Well, they're trying to change it through new legislation. Back in February, State Senator Maria Elena Durazo introduced SB 1257. It's also known as the Health and Safety for All Workers Act. The bill would close the Cal-OSHA loophole once and for all. The worker we heard from earlier, Socorro Diaz, she's actually also a labor organizer affiliated with the Grayton Day Labor Center in Sonoma County. She is spending a lot of time advocating for this bill, and she says it's all the more important because of another disaster her community is struggling with right now.
Let me guess, the pandemic.
Exactly. Socorro says it has been devastating. In March, she lost all 15 of her regular clients, so she was out of work. Then her entire sister's family got COVID-19 in San Jose. Socorro is Latinx, and I think it's worth noting that Latinx people are getting sick and dying from COVID-19 at higher rates than white people, in part because so many Latinx people work as essential workers. So then in May, some house cleaning jobs started to come back again. Socorro said her bills started really piling up. So even though she knows the risks and has seen people get sick from this, she felt economically forced to go back to work.
Economically forced to go back to work despite everything. So what are those work conditions like then? Are they safe?
Well, some domestic workers are reporting real potential problems. I recently talked to Guillermina Castellanos. She's an organizer with La Colectiva. That's a domestic workers collective in San Francisco. She says at least in her experience, employers are not providing any of the domestic workers she knows with masks or other basic safety gear.
Because they don't have to legally.
Exactly. Legally, they do not have to because domestic workers aren't covered by California safety laws. Castellanos also says that as the economy continues to spiral, some domestic workers she knows can't even buy their own safety gear. She described it to me as a choice between buying tortillas or buying what you need for your baby or buying safety equipment for your job. Yeah, that is how she described it to me. The pandemic has really hit this community very hard. But labor advocates say it's also really strengthened domestic workers' resolve here. Domestic workers' groups are organizing over Zoom. They've participated in car caravan protests. A few organizers actually told me that more workers are showing up to their virtual meetings than ever before. And they say that workers are really advocating for the Health and Safety for All Workers Act to pass because they say they need these basic protections now more than ever before.
Right. So, Teresa, we're at the beginning of yet another fire season right now. So what happens now?
I mean, look, the fact that a major wildfire could hit during an active pandemic that is already hitting Latinx communities particularly hard, this really scares some of the labor advocates I've talked to. They describe this as a cascade of disasters. Several labor advocates I've talked to, for instance, are very concerned about an N95 shortage. Remember, those are the types of masks that Cal-OSHA says employers have to give their workers when wildfire smoke gets bad enough. But they're also the masks that the CDC is urging medical professionals to wear when they treat COVID patients. So there's a real demand for them right now. Just to make things potentially worse, early research also suggests that wildfire smoke could both make people more vulnerable to COVID-19 and make their infections worse. In the meantime, the Health and Safety for All Workers Act is working its way through state government. The bill is winding its way through the state legislature, and the Labor and Industrial Relations Committee just voted unanimously in favor of it.
Okay, lots of important information. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks, Hannah.
Teresa Katsarilis is KALW's immigration reporter. Tomorrow on the show, we continue our series on how climate change is affecting communities in the Bay Area. We'll hear about lawsuits being filed against corporations and the governments for their roles in climate change. Today's team includes Noor Bouzidi, Valen Irisibar, Julia Linus Goodman, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Joshua Sirotiak. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.